This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Jake Huger, Anna Kasparian with you guys. We're going to talk to Don Lemon in a second about his controversial interview with Elon Musk. Let's take a quick look at a quick piece of it.
Contrary to what you might have heard, we weren't canceled by X. Yes, after months of begging me, wooing me to offer some exclusive content on his platform, Elon Musk decided to scrap the deal. But our plan is, and always has been, to release this show everywhere. And I challenge you, Elon, to watch the whole interview and tell the world why this isn't what you claim you want on X.
So we did watch the whole interview. Don Lemon, of course, now has his own show, and you can find it at youtube.com/TheDonLemonShow. And I thought it was more aggressive than Don said it was. And I found myself at times a little bit sympathetic to Elon Musk, which I was surprised by. So we're going to talk to Don about that. And let's bring him in now. Don, good to have you on the Young Turks.
Thank you, Cenk. It's good to be on. I appreciate you guys doing it. Hi, Anna.
Hi. Hi, Don. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about the substance of the interview in one second. But first, Anna's got a question for you.
I have a question that I hope you don't take any offense to, but it's the number one.
You can ask me anything.
It's the number one thing I'm deeply, deeply curious about. So let's quickly just go to this graphic because it explains the heart of my question here. So sources exclusively tell The Wrap that Lemon has agreed to a separation deal with CNN for approximately $24.5 million, which would be the full complete pay from his final contract, which extended 3.5 years from his ousting. Okay, so why are you not in Sorrento right now?
Like, or on the Amalfi Coast, as
yes.
If I don't watch you.
Like,
I went to the Amalfi Coast this summer. Anna, I went to Italy twice this summer. People invited me on their boats. I took extravagant, great vacations because I was taking time off, honestly, to try to plot my next plan, to figure out what I'm gonna do. I even met with Cenk at a restaurant in Soho, I think, to talk about my next move. So,
are you telling? You're a free man, Don. You're a free man. Okay, you don't have to work for a living like we do, okay? You don't have to consume another minute of the news or report another minute of the news. You can be in Sorrento right now, free of all of it.
Yeah.
But you know what? I give you credit for being passionate enough about this, line of work that you want to keep torturing yourself with it. But I just needed to know.
Yeah, I didn't think that you were telling me to shut up and dribble, right?
No, of course not. No, it's just a difficult and challenging job that's made even more difficult and challenging when you consider the changing business landscape associated with journalism.
So, yeah, I want to get back to that.
And I sat down just quickly. I sat down with Cenk and we talked about that. And that's one of the reasons that I am not actively pursuing or have not actively pursued employment in traditional media. It's this is the future of the medium that I'm used to, and I'm gonna lean into that. So I'm happy to be here and trying new things on your territory. This is your territory.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that in a second. So let's do the heart of the interview. So Don, I saw you're talking to other folks, went on Aaron Burnett's show on CNN, et cetera. It was good to see you back on CNN. And you appear to be very surprised at Elon Musk's reaction. But after watching the interview, I wasn't that surprised. I was wondering when he got angry, and I thought before I watched the interview, and I thought maybe when you brought up ketamine or something, but he seemed like he was perfectly okay with that. It's when you started talking about DEI and the great replacement theory. And Don, you spent a lot of time on that. And I like aggressive interviews and I like follow-up questions. But you had a ton of follow-up questions and you were very tough and aggressive. So I wound up thinking that I was surprised that you were surprised that he had a negative reaction to it, especially given Elon Musk. Didn't you think that interview was very aggressive?
Well, I didn't think it was very aggressive, and I wasn't surprised that Elon Musk was I'm surprised that he became upset by it, because Elon Musk is a grown man. He is a multi-billionaire. He is in charge of very important things in the world. And he has also put out into the world, especially through his social media site, some very negative things, which is he can do it if he wants, it's his site. But I wanted to know if he felt any responsibility to that. Not only did he does he put those things out, some of them go against his own content policy rules. And some of them are not factual. Many of them are not factual. And some are racist and anti-Semitic. So any journalist worth their salt would ask him about those things and follow up. And I think that's what I did. I don't think the interview was aggressive at all. I never raised my voice in the interview. I simply asked him questions and I followed up.
One of the things that you took him to task on was the advertisers that have since left the platform ever since he took over. There are multiple reasons why they've left, but apparently Elon Musk doesn't want to take any responsibility for his business choices, essentially shooing some of these advertisers away. So I wanted to go to that portion of the interview just so our audience can see what we're talking about when we talk about how aggressive you were in that interview, which I think is a good thing. I prefer that over milquetoast, boring, you know, pandering questions. But nonetheless, let's take a quick look at that portion.
So you said if they kill the company, it's them. But doesn't the buck stop with you? I mean, you're on.
I have to say, choose your question carefully. There's 5 minutes left.
Okay, but so
is this the question you want to ask?
Same question is you said that they are killing the company, but you're the head of the company. The buck doesn't stop with you?
I acquired X in order to preserve freedom of speech in America, the First Amendment. And I'm going to stick to that. And if that means making less money, so be it.
So I have to be, listen, I'm just being honest, right? I'm not trying to, like, get you or anything. I was just surprised that you would blame other people for killing the company. I mean, when you say the buck stops with the President of the United States, regardless of what happens, right? So. Why would that question upset you? You seem upset by it, are you?
I think you're.
And I'm not trying to upset you.
You are upsetting me because the way you're phrasing the questions, I think, is not cogent.
I thought it was rather cogent, and he looks incredibly upset. Were you afraid for your safety at any moment during that interview? Because it looked like he was ready to murder you.
No, he did have some big security guards and big dudes around him. No, I wasn't afraid for my safety. And listen, I have interviewed all kinds of people. Yeah, you know, I always say I've interviewed presidents to convicts to, you know, just all kinds of people. Many people who I disagree with. I've had many tough interviews. I've never had someone this sensitive. And I actually agree with Cenk. I didn't feel sorry for him during the interview. There's nothing to feel sorry for him about. Elon Musk has a good life. He said he had a hard life as a childhood. So did I. So did many people. But I did feel some empathy for him because I thought that he has a lot on his plate. I mentioned that in the interview. And I think that he is uncomfortable with people challenging him and presenting him with facts. And I think that he is, in my opinion, a bit emotionally immature. Or maybe a bit emotionally vulnerable might be a better way of putting it. So I did empathize with him in a way, but my intention was not to have a gotcha interview or to get him. It was to allow him to be able to speak. They wanted at least an hour, which is what we granted them, because I don't like sound bites, and I said that in the beginning, so I was glad about that, to get to know him. And that's all it was. So, you know, all of the talking he did himself.
Yeah. So, by the way, you can watch the whole interview again at youtube.com/TheDonLemonShow. Don, I want to follow up on that though, because sometimes I got frustrated in the interview because I felt like you guys were talking past each other, to be honest.
And we were, right on. You're right on about that. We were right, yes, go on, finish your question, I'm sorry.
So, on the issue of advertisers, free speech, moderation, censorship, I want to get your thoughts on it because you're the one here and you had a really interesting set of questions for him and you kind of debated him back and forth on it. So look, I think he's oftentimes inarticulate, that's not his strength. But let's start with advertisers. I think that he makes an interesting point there, which is advertisers get to control everything that goes on these platforms. And I think that people don't understand the power of advertisers. So even though he's wrong on the substance of, I think he's wrong on the substance of what he's getting in a beef with the advertisers over, right? He's not wrong that they set all of the rules, and he is doing a bit of a rebellion against what is ironically their conservative nature, not in terms of politics, but in terms of how they conduct their business. So the example I'll give you is that oftentimes on different social media platforms, discussion, and you'll see this now that you're on digital media, discussions of whether someone is saying something racist or someone is combating racism are blocked because advertisers say, I don't want any piece of it, it's controversial. I don't want plus, I don't want negative, I don't want it at all. And you saw what happened with Bud Light and the trans controversy, etc. So advertisers say, if you're having interesting conversations, we will block it. So he's not exactly wrong about that. So what's your take on that position? Maybe articulated a little bit better.
No, I think you're right. I think, listen, I've learned a lot with this. That wasn't my question to him though, but just on what you just said, I think you're right. I find that people don't want to advertise around politics. You know that, Cenk. They don't want to advertise around news. They're very hesitant to do that because they don't want to take a position. They don't want something to happen to them like what happened with Bud Light or any other, you know, company that has taken a stance and has faced some sort of boycott. That is unfortunate. I don't agree with that. I think that they should be advertising around these things because it's very important for our electorate and Americans and people all over the world to be educated and to know what they're voting for. And I think it is important for companies to take stances and to stand up for misinformation, to stand up against misinformation, stand up against conspiracy theorists, to stand up against insurrectionists, to stand up against people who are election deniers. So I think that is very important, and I understand that. And so if someone is concerned about that on this side of the camera that we're on, then perhaps maybe they want to change what they do. But my whole point of it is, whether you or I, Cenk, agree with that, that is that advertiser's freedom of speech or freedom of expression. They don't want to advertise on your program. That is their right. They don't have to. We don't like it. I don't like it. You don't like it. He doesn't like it. But that is their right. So you simply can't say, I believe in freedom of speech, except for the freedom of speech of these advertisers. That would be hypocritical.
Yeah.
And so it's not the advertiser's fault that they're not advertising on his platform. It's his fault. And so he has to figure out how to entice those advertisers or whatever in his own business, as you or I would. It's unfortunate, but that's their right.
Yeah, you know, I agree with only 2/3 of that. Okay, so I agree that it's definitely the advertiser's right. They have the freedom of speech as well. No question about that.
And you can figure out how to change it. There are things that we can do to figure out how to change that.
Right.
And there are things that we can do to appeal to people's, you know, the better nature of advertisers, which is tough because that's only about making money.
Tough.
That's all they want to do.
Yeah. And I agree with you that the buck stops with leadership. And so I run this network, and it's my job to make sure that it's sustainable given the landscape that we're in. So, you know, and if you don't like the landscape, sad day, but it is what it is, and you have to survive and you have to make do. But he is leading a bit of a rebellion against the advertiser ideology that you must agree with their positions, otherwise they will not advertise with you. And that part I respect a little bit, but I want to go to the—
I do too. I agree with you 100%. When I saw him at DealBook, I was like, wow, that is really, you know what, of him. I can say ballsy, that's not a curse word, of him to do that.
Yeah.
To stand up to those advertisers that way and put his business in jeopardy. But again, you know, that's him saying that. It's not the advertisers. They just decided not to advertise on that platform.
Yeah, I totally
agree. I agree with you. I think that he's making a very good point. And I wish we all had that amount of money where we could stand up for advertisers, against advertisers who do the things that you're saying.
And he does, so he gets to do it, right? Because he's the richest man in the world. And so, okay.
But that wasn't part of our conversation.
No, I totally agree. That's why I brought it up here. And so I want to go to the free speech versus moderation versus censorship. Because again, there I felt like you guys were talking past each other a little bit. So look, everyone, I think almost everyone gets, you can't be absolutist on free speech and you can't be absolutist on censorship, right? So, and he is hypocritical because he kept telling you, well, we allow these hateful things on the platform, but we don't serve it up to people as much. Well, then I could argue that's a form of censorship, right? And so he never addressed that. But on the other hand, Don, you know, you showed like some terrible cartoons, you know, as you were doing it, of the Jewish stereotypes, and they're awful, etc. And so it's easy to look at that and say, well, you should ban that, right? But isn't it much, much harder than that? Because the question is, where are the lines? So for example, Ben Shapiro, you know, in 2010 said that Arabs like to bomb crap and live in open sewage. It's a horribly hateful thing to say. You know, there's no accountability for it, etc. But I don't mind that he said it, because then at least I know where he stands. And I've been called every name in the book in terms of my Muslim background, Turkish background, let alone everything else. But I want to cheat towards more freedom and not less, because I don't mind the battle of ideas. And I don't even mind if they say it in an offensive or horrible way, because at least I know where they stand. So I, you know, it's definitely something that is not in the extremes, and it's not binary. But when you get into the hard middle of how to decide that, can you see why allowing for what some would call hate speech could, as long as it's legal, as he kept emphasizing, maybe is not such a wrong way to go? You see what I'm saying?
Yes and no. Because listen, you know, before I came on, your producers reminded me not to curse, right? So that's a form of moderation, moderating your platform, and I am respectful of that. And so Ben Shapiro and Elon Musk are two different entities. Elon Musk owns one of the biggest social media and information platforms in the world. Ben Shapiro does not do that. Ben Shapiro has an agenda as a talk show host, as an advocate for Jewish people, as an activist. That is a completely different thing. Elon Musk is responsible for not only for the content that goes on that platform, for the business of that platform, for the employees who will may or may not have a job on that platform, but also for the people who are at Tesla, for a big portion of the auto industry, for the economy in this country as it relates to the auto industry, as it relates to batteries, as it relates to solar powered, you know, or electric cars or whatever, as it relates to rockets and that go up into space, as it relates to satellites. He is a very consequential person in the country. And what he says, a lot of people listen to. The context of the question, the questions that I was asking him about, it was about hate speech. Now, if you don't want someone to say a cuss word on your platform, then you shouldn't be allowing people to put hate speech and hate propaganda on a platform. And it doesn't matter how many times it is out there, if you suppress it, which I want to get into that, it only takes one person. It only takes one Buffalo shooter. It only takes one synagogue shooter. It only takes one person shooting at immigrants who are crossing the border. It only takes one person, especially when you look at the manifestos of those people, and they tell you the ones who do survive and they don't get killed by, you know, in a shootout by police or the SWAT team, they will tell you, or even through their manifestos or personally, they were radicalized by information that they saw on social media. So what is the responsibility for someone who owns one of the biggest social media platforms in the world? You have no responsibility to even abide by the own rules that you set on your own platform. If you say, okay, that stuff gets by and we take it down, the stuff that we had been up there for months. And so if your own content policy says that is against your content rules, why is it still up there? That was my question. The other thing is, don't you feel any responsibility as someone of consequence? I respect Elon Musk a lot for what he has accomplished, but everyone at some point has responsibility for what they put out into the world and what they do. And so when you do something on this platform, Jink, the buck stops with Jink. When I do something, the buck stops with me. When Anna does something, the buck stops with her. Same as with the President of the United States. When a producer or someone, when I was on cable news, or a writer said, got something wrong and it came out of my mouth, you know who took responsibility for it? me. I didn't throw someone under the bus or say, well, it's just out there and there's a lot of stuff that comes through and everything can't be, I can't do whatever. No, I'm sorry, viewers, that that got out to you. It was offensive. I know it was. It hurt some people and it can possibly lead to violence and even death. I apologize for that. It won't happen again. End of story.
Yeah. So I hear you 100%. I think the devil's in the details, because the real answer to the question you asked him of why aren't you doing your own content policy is because he fired 3/4 of his staff. And that's why he's
that's
not doing
true.
It. Right?
Yeah.
And, but nevertheless,
listen,
though.
But for free speech, I agree with you. I'm going to fight for your right to be able to say it. If you're going to have, if you're going to be totally free speech, then be totally free speech. Don't have content policies.
Yeah.
Say it is a free for all. It's a wild, wild west. We let everybody go as long as it's not illegal. I'm sorry. That's how I feel. But don't be hemming and hawing and doing this, trying to appease the advertisers, trying to do that. No.
Yeah.
You know.
So
by your own rules.
Yeah, and there's so much nuance here too that that we'll have to pick back up, because like for example, I think what the tweet that I mentioned of Ben Shapiro's, I think was definitely hateful and hate speech, but I would have allowed it. And so that's a super interesting conversation. I almost, after watching the interview, I wanted to almost moderate a debate on race, which is a whole different topic between you and Elon. Because again, you guys
let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, that would be amazing and I would love it. But I have time for only one last question here, which is what I promised in the beginning. Look, when I was on MSNBC, all I'd do was beat Chris Matthews by, you know, one viewer and I was a hero, right? Because he was my lead in. And so I thought it was relatively easy. Digital media is super hard. And so, because you've got to build the audience from the ground up. So I know you're just getting started here. I heard, you know, you said now I got to be more of an entrepreneur on the Pivot podcast with Kara Swisher and Galloway. And I think that's exactly right. So as you start here, how difficult have you found digital media to be versus TV?
It's a lot more difficult, but it's way more fun and it's way more authentic. I mean, you know, I think if you listen to Pivot, I said, the system that I was in is akin to the old Hollywood system where, you know, they had stars and talent and they took care of you and you had a contract and you did this and so many, you know, I get to moderate so many debates and election season, blah, blah, and all of that is built in. This is all us and all me. And it is more organic and it's really, I find it to be more challenging, but more rewarding because it's actual people who are really interested in authenticity. Mm. And I'm trying to figure out how to navigate that. I'm learning a lot. I think I'm doing really well to, you know, considering the amount of people who have watched the first episode of the Don Lemon Show on YouTube. I feel like I'm successful already. And look, with the small team that I have, and I'm sure you probably have a bigger team than I have because you've been doing this for a long time. But the small team that I have, what we've done over the last couple of weeks, even before, you know, Elon Musk canceled our contract, I think it's just been extraordinary. And I couldn't be happier with what's happening right now. And I'm happy to be on your program. I hope to be on here again, debating the issues with you guys.
I love it. Don, let me just say, I mean, look, this industry is an incredibly difficult one, but what makes doing this job here at TYT worth it is that none of us are muzzled and we get to take the show in whatever direction we see fit. And that's so liberating and it makes the job a lot better. Okay, so I'm actually excited for you. You know, let it all loose, let it go. Do the show that you've always dreamed of doing because there's no one in your way stopping you. And that's just, again, the most liberating thing in this profession. So big ups to you and keep asking those tough questions because that eventually will grow a brand that I think will have a lot of lasting power. So anyway, thank you for joining us, Anna. Yeah. Thank you.
And tell Jink, you know, stop being so hard on me. And maybe we'll go to the Amalfi Coast this summer. Me and you, not Jink.
Forget about him.
By the way, Elon, you notice he didn't walk out? Okay, that's how you do an interview. So, all right, everybody check out the interview that Don did with Elon Musk. It's at youtube.com/The Don Lemon Show. Don, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Welcome.
Thank you, guys.